Hello, and welcome back to I Can't Eat Shit podcast. I'm your host, actress, comedian, Shondalia White. And yes, I can't eat shit, and yes, the shit is annoying. Am I a doctor? You already know I'm not. I'm just a woman. When you take her out to eat, she can't eat anything on the menu 90% of the time. So, if you're like me, and when people ask you, oh, can you eat anything on the menu? And you're like, no, this podcast is for you. If you've gotten a little bit older and your gut is telling you, now you already know you can't do that, this podcast is for you too. And if you're just interested in me and my health and wellness journey and want to be a little bit nosy, I love it. Come on in. This podcast is for you too, so stay tuned. I started I Can't Eat Shit podcast because I was secretly ill for many years, just suffering in silence, and now I'm healed and I'm ready to talk about it. This episode is about what the heck did I do to my small intestine? So let's get into it. Last month, I left you all on a bit of a cliffhanger because I wanted to talk about what I did to help me with traveling with restrictions. I was doing a lot of traveling for my birthday, and I just thought, you know what? This would be a nice little break from everything we've been talking about. But this month, I'm bringing it back. If you're just tuning in and you aren't sure how my journey started, what I'm talking about, like what do we mean you stop, just go and check out any of the full episodes or quick tips, and you can catch up on how I started my journey and some of the things that I did and people that helped me along the way. This month, we are going to go a little bit more in depth about the specific things that were wrong with my gut and what I did to fix them. So, just side note, I know some people were confused about like what the quick tips are. The quick tips are not a continuation of the full episode or just like a clip of the full episode. It definitely is a separate thing. It's its own thing where I'm just giving you a very quick tip that's just generally health and wellness. It might relate to the topic of that month. It may not. So, check out those quick tips and let me know what you think. All right, moving on. So I took a microbiome test just to summarize kind of the journey before I get into the new stuff. I took a microbiome test, and that was the major like point where I started seeing big changes in my life. And the microbiome test was great because it showed me what stuff was causing inflammation in my body, what foods were great for my body, what foods weren't great, and what foods I can eat sometimes. So that was just at that time. Of course, it can change as your body changes, whatever. And I did work with a professional. I didn't just go off the microbiome test. I highly suggest you work with a professional in combination with a test, any kind of test you get. But again, money can be an object. It's up to you. Anyway, in my case, I started off with a nutritionist that helped me begin my journey to healing. And then I moved on to a naturopath doctor in combination with the gastrointestinal doctor. The gastrointestinal doctor did not heal my gut. He did, however, help me relieve my celiac responses that I was having to gluten in my body. And that was simply just stop eating it because they don't have a cure for celiacs. They just make you stop eating it and you don't have the pain anymore. It's really that simple. If you are someone that has some type of gluten intolerance or you have celiacs or something like that, and you're like, you know, I always wanted to get a test or something, you have to continue eating gluten for a certain amount of time before you can take that test. That's just a FYI. It's not worth it if you are experiencing tremendous pain like I was. So just stop and you'll be fine. Also, I tried to work with my general prac doctor, but again, no help. She just gave me antibiotics and was like, you're actually healthy, you're fine. And clearly I wasn't okay internally. So when I went to my naturopath doctor, I had so much stuff going on. I mean, I had let so many things fester that this is why I got so much to talk about, because I had so many things going on at once. This is also why it can't fit into one episode, because it's just, you'll be exhausted listening to this, and I won't do that to you. But I had so many different things going on, so we had a lot of things to address separately, and it took a very long time to heal my gut. With that said, I discovered with her help that I was dealing with IBS, FODMAP sensitivities that I didn't know that I was experiencing that. We'll talk about that today. I was dealing with heartburn, constipation, H. pylori, didn't know I had that, mold exposure, effects of stress on my body were affecting my gut, and low stomach acid levels, and so much more. I'm going to take a few of these different things and we're going to dissect them. And just know it's a lot, but I prevailed and you can too. Okay? So let's get into that, because I got sick of the shits. So as I was saying, I got sick of the shits. And I took serious action with the help of my naturopath doctor. And I chose her because she was not only because she specialized in gastrointestinal issues and things along those lines that I was dealing with, but also because she was very dedicated to getting to the root of the problem. And that was very important to me. I feel like in American society, we care more about pacifying a symptom or just making money by keeping people sick and, you know, whatever. I was just sick of it. I was sick of the shits, y'all. And I was like, no, I want somebody that's going to help me get to the root of the problem. I don't want to take no antibiotics anymore. I don't want like some weird medication. I want to for real heal myself so this stuff doesn't recur. And if I do have problems later on, at least I'm familiar with what I need to do and I can heal it way quicker than I did this time around. With that said, she helped me. She was also dedicated to getting to the root of the problem. And so she helped me figure out that I had a FODMAP sensitivity. Now, what the heck is a FODMAP in general? FODMAPs, I'm just going to read it, is short chain carbs that aren't properly absorbed in the small intestine and they are fermented in the colon. So what does that mean? Because that's a lot of tech jargon, and I summarize that. They're basically carbs that cause IBS. They aren't properly broken down in people that have sensitive systems, and it can cause a lot of discomfort and pain and the shits, okay? So I had that, and I have issues with low and high FODMAPs. Now, if you search online, you'll kind of notice that when you deal with IBS issues or any kind of gut discomfort, they'll tell you to do a low FODMAP diet, right? I'm hitting my little tree. But I have issues with both the high and the low. So while we were healing my gut, I had to eliminate a lot of FODMAPs just in general and then gradually add them back. Now, because I had the microbiome test, I was able to kind of compare, right? Because, okay, I got this list of FODMAPs, and if you want a list of different FODMAP foods, you can search that online. I will give you a list of some of the ones that bother my stomach, but I compared those two, like, okay, this definitely is causing inflammation, so I don't want to add that back in. This one is one that's safe for me, but for some reason it's causing issues right now. So I might want to gradually add that back just to kind of give you the mentality behind how I navigated that whole scenario and situation. With that said, I should also note, I will not add back in stuff I know is hurting my stomach. If I know it hurts, I'm not about to add it back in to figure out if it's going to hurt again. If it was something that maybe was just giving me like the runs or something, then I might go, okay, let's double check and see. And I'll go over that now as far as some of those things that really messed up my stomach. So beans and lentils are FODMAPs, chickpeas, cashews, and pistachios, collard greens, chard. I love collard greens and chard, but it got to a point where I couldn't eat them. Like, I'm not sure. That is something that I'll likely go back and kind of play around with to see if I can eat it. But every time I ate them, my body could not process it. It wasn't breaking it down properly. And you can tell this by your stool. Bell peppers, tomatoes, kale, potatoes, and sweet potatoes. Currently, I have gradually added potatoes back into my diet. Not sweet potatoes yet, but I have tried potatoes. And I'm fine if I don't overdo it. So if I end up kind of binge eating on potatoes, like, oh, I got baked potatoes. And now I got, you know, scallop potatoes. And now I got food that, processed food maybe, that has potato starch in it. Or potato chips, this, that. If I start doing potato everything, it's going to bother my system and it'll start feeling inflamed. That's something I learned. So now I know, okay, I can probably have some potato, but just not all the time. So right now I'm currently detoxing from potatoes again. So it's not in my diet. I haven't tried sweet potatoes, and I love sweet potatoes, and I make a bomb sweet potato souffle from scratch. But my body just stopped being able to process them properly. And I wasn't gaining the nutrition from it. Another thing is cauliflower, pickled veggies. I have started adding in pickled veggies a little bit more, like pickles or radish. You know how you had those pickled radishes and stuff like that? I'll do it every blue moon, but there I only can do it in small amounts and not all the time. The same bananas are FODMAPs. Processed meats, I don't do those at all. Pasta, onions. I did start adding grilled onions back into my diet because I found that the grilled onions do help a little bit. But I still, that's very sparingly because I will feel inflammation. Quinoa, and I love quinoa, but one day it just stopped working. Like, my body, it was just like, it was not processing, it was not taking any nutrition from it. And that's a great protein, especially if you're vegan. And at one point I was vegan. Wheat, of course, because I had celiacs, I had to get rid of it. And popcorn, I do eat popcorn, but I found like a gluten-free popcorn, and I do have to watch it because if I start binging on it or eating too much popcorn or corn in general, it will affect my stomach. And garlic, that was just like this past month, too much garlic started bothering me and my body isn't able to fully process it and it gets really upset. So I love garlic, y'all, and I would put garlic in everything, but whatever. That, again, that's something else that I have to do sparingly, and just, I don't have to eliminate it, but I had to cut back on it because I noticed it was causing inflammation. Now, what causes FODMAP sensitivity? I'm going to read a little bit more from that. It's usually SIBO. So this is a really big thing. SIBO is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Oh, man. This causes an abnormal increase in bacteria in your small intestine that isn't usually found there. So guess who had that happen to me? And what it does is it makes it a serious issue, because if it goes untreated, it can cause other serious issues, such as malabsorption of fats, proteins, and carbs, which can lead to malnutrition and vitamin deficiencies. Guess who's dealing with that? Your girl. I dealt with all of it. So it took a while. It took months for me to really get all of that stuff out and cleansed out. And yeah, all I can do is advise you, if you're trying to treat something like that, don't just go online. Because when I went online to look at how people are supposed to treat that stuff, it'll tell you antibiotics. And I am someone that has antibiotic sensitivity. I only have specific antibiotics that my body responds to, and then it also just goes haywire, and it takes a lot for me to get it back to normal. So what I did, I call it an herbal cocktail, and my naturopath and I came up with that herbal cocktail of things such as, what was it? It was digestive enzymes, supplements, natural supplements. I had to do my diet changes, probiotics, and stuff along those lines to cleanse out my gut. It was a lot more. I think she even had me do like some teas and stuff too. But if you would like to take a more natural approach towards healing your gut, I just want to reiterate that it takes a long time. It's not something that's it's not cheap. So if money is an issue, just go to a gastrointestinal doctor and do your own little stuff on research and stuff online, and maybe try to combine that, because you can use insurance with a gastrointestinal doctor and you can't with a naturopath doctor. But if money is an issue, yeah, that's like maybe something you can try. I'm sure there's other things out there at this point, but just know it's going to take time. It's not like a Western medicine type of thing. It took me about 2 years or more to heal my gut, and I still have to watch the inflammation. I'm still playing around with like my diet, and like I said, with the garlic, I just discovered that was giving me inflammation. I have to watch it. I don't drink a lot anymore. I mean, it ain't like I drank a lot to begin with, but just the type of stuff I drink, I have to even pay attention to like the wine or something that I'm drinking, because that started hurting and causing a lot of inflammation. But there's just not a one size fit all remedy. So I can't tell you like just take these things and you'll be fine. It really depends on your system. And I almost feel like it's like that with all types of medicine, because even though it's a natural approach, it's still natural medicine. Like those herbs are medicine. So it's very important that you have a professional help you out to create something that's very specific for your body and whatever things you have going on, because you may think you only are dealing with FODMAP sensitivity and SIBO, but then you'll be like me and have all these other things, and you don't know which one to start with. You're just only addressing this because that's what you had the money to do. It pays to just get a professional opinion so you aren't making yourself worse. So I want to throw that out there, because I don't want you to feel like I don't have all the answers. I'm just kind of sharing my experience with you, and I hope that it'll help you take more steps towards improving your own health and taking action in your own health. This segment is called There's Another Way to Do That, where I teach you how to modify recipes based on my restrictions. So this month we're making baked fried chicken. Yes. And spoiler alert, it's not fried at all. So if you want them people, you trying to be healthy and you trying to cut, you know, fried food, this for you. And even if you just want another way to do your fried chicken, go ahead and check it out. It's for you too. Okay, the secret is we are using baking powder instead of flour. Gluten-free, it's not spicy. Check it out, it's delicious. Don't knock it till you try it. I know it sounds weird. Don't knock it till you try it. Your girl know how to cook, you gotta trust me. You already know the deal. Head on over to my visual playlist here on YouTube. The link is in the description, and it'll also pop up above. Also, you can go to my TikTok. If you're a TikTok person, check it out before it's gone, because you know we don't know what's going on with TikTok right now. They might get rid of that. But if you're a TikTok person, check it out there and watch, cook it, and let me know how you love it, because you're going to love it. If I had any additional advice for you, it would be to look into FODMAPs. Check it out and see if any of those foods are giving you issues. If they are, it may be something as simple as temporarily eliminating some of that stuff out of your diet, and you can improve your gut health. Also, look into SIBO. What is SIBO more in depth than whatever I told you, in addition to SIBO tests and what to expect? Yes, you might want to get one. And lastly, like I always say, if you're sitting on some GI tract issues or if you are having gut health issues and you just ignoring it, do something about it. It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away on its own. You got to do something. Early detection is the key. Just take it from me. Take care of your body so it can take care of you, or you're going to be dealing with a lot of shit. This has been I Can't Eat Shit Podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I really appreciate you all. You have no idea. I really appreciate the love and support. I see all the comments and I've been getting the DMs, and it just fills me with so much joy that you all are enjoying it and learning a lot. If you like what you saw or heard today, go ahead and like, share, subscribe. I Can't Eat Shit Podcast. I am available on all podcast streaming platforms in addition to YouTube, and I have a visual playlist on YouTube in addition to my RSS feed playlist if you just want to listen. If you watch the visual playlist and listen to it there, you'll also receive There's Another Way to Do That, which is my cooking segment that I do monthly. At the top of the month, I only do one cooking segment per month, and I modify recipes based on my particular restrictions. And it's just to kind of show you that you can still have fun with food even when you have restrictions. Maybe it'll give you some ideas and, you know, a little bit of hope that you don't have to eat the bland, nasty food. You can also follow me on Instagram at I Can't Eat Shit Podcast and at Chandelier White. Thank you so much. I'll see you next time. I can't eat shit. I Can't Eat Shit Podcast is not a replacement for a medical professional. If you need help, seek out a trained medical professional, nutritionist, or therapist to help you with your specific needs.